And now, the KHMB Feature Story of the Week. A look at people and events making a difference on the coastside.
The KHMB Feature Story of the Week is brought to you by the all-new Granola's Coffee House, located on Highway 1 next to BK Motors in Half Moon Bay. Granola's Coffee House, featuring specialty coffees, fresh baked goods, and free Wi-Fi.
I'm only one call away. I'll be there to save the day. Superman got nothing on me. I'm only one call away.
Just one call away. Your voice is cracking as you talk to the 911 operator. My house is on fire. And who is going to come? The volunteers. Yes, firefighters who are volunteers. Just who are these people willing to put themselves in harm's way for their neighbors? Well, today we will meet two. My guests are Chief Roger Pimentel and Captain Chad Fairbrother. And these are volunteers from the Half Moon Bay Fire Department. Welcome, gentlemen.
Well, thank you.
Hey, good morning. Honored to be here.
Now, the first music we heard could have been Yankee Doodle because Benjamin Franklin saw the problem of firefighting clubs that existed only for the merchants who paid for them. So in 1733, he created the first volunteer fire brigade. Which brings me to the obvious question, when did the Half Moon Bay Fire Department begin?
A group of businessmen in Half Moon Bay, they got together and they bought some hose, they bought some buckets and some axes. That was in 1877. And then they actually put together a volunteer fire department in 1899. They signed up some of the local businessmen as recruits to be part of the fire department.
I was amazed to see that 70% of the firefighters in the United States are actually volunteers. That's a lot of people risking life and limb for their communities. What brings people to make that commitment?
It's essentially as basically entitled within the title of volunteer firefighter. It's somebody who wants to volunteer and be of service to their community. What brings a person to it is as unique and various as the person themselves. Within our department, we've got people who aspire to become career firefighters and earn a paycheck doing it. Some of us just basically have a strong desire to be of service to those around us. Somebody once asked me, what is the definition of a firefighter? And I remember coming up with my own unique answer. And basically, it is whatever you need that person to be whenever you need them to be it. So it's essentially a strong desire to be of service to the neighbors and also basically just to be where the action is.
How many volunteers are actually involved in the department here?
Right now we're at about 15. We're going through an application process to bring on some new folks. We're actually going to give them some orientation and oral interviews here very shortly. We're fortunate enough to get 10 applicants. We'll see if we can add them to our number and we would be up to 25.
So where does the funding come from?
The funding for our primary fire suppression duties comes from the Coastside Fire Protection District general budget. However, there is a 501c3 component for the Half Moon Bay Volunteer Fire Department. And from that, it comes from your donations that you make to us during our fundraising events throughout the year. Our crab and salmon dinner generally held in April, our root beer float booth at the Pumpkin Festival, and several other fundraising activities that we hold throughout the year. And those funds get dispersed throughout the local community, not for fire suppression, but for just general community support. We sponsor a local Little League team. We sponsor a girls' soccer team. And we also have scholarships being given to worthy high school students here throughout our district.
The station we have here is large, and it's very impressive. Tell us about that facility and all its equipment.
The building was built in 1998. We moved from the 600 block of Main Street, which was a small volunteer building. The board and everybody says, well, we'll never fill it up with equipment. And if you go down there now, the bays are pretty well filled up. Everything from what we call a structural engine that responds to just about all the calls. We have a heavy rescue, a brush rig, we call it, a wildland rig as well, and some utility stuff. And then the volunteers have our own engine all in that same facility.
How many stations are on the coastside?
There are three stations. Station 40, which is our departmental headquarters, located at 1191 Main. Then we have the brand new station that we were just speaking about at Station 41. And then far up north at the far end of the district is Station 44.
You also have EMTs. Now, are those separate positions or are they firefighters as well?
They're firefighters and EMTs. There's a different levels of personnel that are on the engines, all the way from a captain to a EMT firefighter. And then there's a paramedic that's on each one of the engines as well, so that there's staff with three personnel in each station.
Do volunteers receive any kind of compensation?
Yes. Fortunately, we receive $10 for every time we go to work.
Oh, great. Okay. That'll get you a latte and maybe a cookie.
I refer to it as a stipend.
That's right, a stipend.
Well, it's funny. As basically, again, as the name volunteer firefighter says, we're not doing it for the money. Yes, the $10 is a lovely little addendum, but to be honest, we're mostly doing it for just the personal self-satisfaction and knowing that we're making things better than they were when that person called 911 initially.
Well, one thing I want to make sure we get is your website.
Any information on the volunteer fire department, your Coastside volunteer firefighters, or any other information you might want on the district can be found on your favorite web search engine, just Coastside Fire Department, and then that will sub-guide you onto the volunteer portion of the website.
I wanted to take a brief excursion into fire extinguishers in the home. What are the best types and where should you put them?
A good idea to have a fire extinguisher in the home. The most popular is the ABC. They cover a multiple fire incidents that you can extinguish with them. And they come with instructions on the side. So it would be very productive if you have such a thing is to look at it and learn how to use it prior to needing it. Because when you need it, that's when stuff hits the fan.
So how do you learn how to use one? You know, you sit there and can't exactly go out in the driveway and let's see how this thing works.
There are multiple videos out there that one can find again on their favorite search engine, but there's a mnemonic that we as firefighters use, and it's very applicable to you too. It's PASS, P-A-S-S, pull, aim, squeeze, sweep. So P, pull the pin, A, aim the extinguisher at what you're trying to extinguish, S, squeeze the handle to begin deploying the agent, and sweep, move it back and forth. And you now know just as much as we do about fire extinguishers.
You look at the little dial, and then it says replace. Okay, what do you do with the old one?
Companies out there that will fix your fire extinguisher for you, and what they'll do is they'll come out, and there's a little cylinder in there that activates the product.
But, I mean, if you have one of those small ones that you bought at the hardware store, I mean, it sounds like it'd be more expensive to have somebody come out and fix it. I'm thinking about disposal.
In this day and age, they are generally designed to be disposable. So if they've reached the end of their service life, or if you have even discharged a partial bit of the product, it's time to send it off to the fire extinguisher heaven in the sky. So just go buy yourself a new one and start over.
And where does the fire extinguisher in the heaven reside? Your trash can or where?
Yes, in your trash can.
Okay, it can actually go in there. All right. Took a long trip to get it there, but we got it. Recently, a neighbor of mine had a fire caused by lithium batteries. He was lucky he didn't lose the whole house. How should people treat those now, knowing that they have that risk?
Lithium batteries are actually a very unique problem. Part of the lithium ion element actually contains its own oxidizing element. So essentially, once the fire starts, it feeds itself. The first thing you should do if you find yourself confronted with a lithium ion fire is call 911. Get the professionals coming because, as we just spoke about your handheld fire extinguishers, it's going to do very little against it. Those things burn with such intensity that you really need the professionals on the way as soon as possible. So once you activate the 911 system, the best option that you have is just to get yourself as safely as possible, remove all of the other possible burning items from around the lithium or the burning lithium. You're not going to be able to put it out yourself, so just get any other combustibles out of the way. Do discharge your fire extinguisher on it, and then just essentially wait for help to arrive.
One of the other things that came out of this was a mention to hang a mask on your fire extinguisher. If it's smoky, you've got something to help protect you as you go towards wherever the smoke is to try to put it out. I thought that was a very good idea. So I did it.
All right, yes. The world is full of little tricks and basically give you, a civilian, a fighting edge against fire, whether it be from carbon monoxide detectors in your house put right at about nose level to testing the smoke detectors in your house every month. You can always give yourself a little edge.
If a person is interested in becoming a volunteer firefighter, what is the first step?
Go to our website. There's an application that you can download, fill out the information, submit it to our main office down at 1191 Main Street. That starts the process. We don't have a regular call-up of applicants, but as we need people, we will contact them and start process.
There are any number of people who'd say, gosh, I'd like to be involved, but you're not going to get me higher than a kitchen step stool. Are there other options for people to participate?
With our department, it's essentially an all-risk department, so we don't have positions open on a lower level. However, there is the CERT program here in town, the Community Emergency Response Team, and I believe you can do a search on them to find more information. And for somebody who is of less than full commitment to a fire suppression job, CERT would be definitely the direction you'd like to head.
Yes, and that's a very active program right now.
We work very closely with them and have great respect for all that they do for the community.
We've been able to get through this interview without a call for a fire, which is, you never know, we heard sirens just as you were walking in. But I definitely want to thank you for joining us today. Again, time for that website.
CoastsideFireDistrict.org. You can find it, or once again, just do a search on your favorite search engine, or just call 911.
Well, when you call 911, you say it's not an emergency, right?
That was a joke. Okay. Yes, 911 just for emergencies. But remember, firefighters still make house calls.
Okay, good. Well, my guests today have been Chief Roger Pimentel and Captain Chad Fairbrother of the Half Moon Bay Fire Department. And I want to thank you for joining us.
Our pleasure.
Always an honor.
I'm only one call away. I'll be there to save the day. Superman got nothing on me.
And they are your Half Moon Bay Fire Department. Those are the people who will come when you call. For the radio magazine, this is Bill Wood.
It is the essence of the meaning of community, the volunteer fire department. Our thanks to Bill Wood for our feature story of the week. For Radio Magazine, I'm Jim Henderson.